Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Now, Lucy Edwards is a remarkable young woman. She's not only overcome the devastating effects of loss of sight, but she's used and developed other skills to become an accomplished writer and broadcaster, as well as a career in the advertising world. I'm delighted to say that she joins us now. Welcome to the show, Lucy.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. It's weird because I watch you every week on the travel show.
Pardon?
I watch you on the travel show, so I feel like I know you.
Yeah, literally, I know what you mean. When you hear people and their work, it kind of, you just feel like through the screen, you're like, oh my gosh, I've heard you before, and it's so cool. Feel that way with you.
Oh, bless you. So I want to go back to the beginning. It wasn't like you were born without sight, which I think is worse in your case, because it was at 17. What exactly happened?
Yeah, so at 17 years old, I actually had only sight in my one eye. So at 11 is kind of when it mainly started. But I've got a really rare genetic condition called incontinenti pigmenti. It runs down the female line of my genes. And basically, that just means that, you know, I lost my eyesight at such a young age. But it's so rare. You know, my mom and my late grandma, you know, they, even though they have the gene, they haven't become blind from it. So it's kind of a fluke in me. And at 17 years old, you know, I really had to learn how to live again. I had to learn how to pour a glass of water and, you know, make a cup of tea when I felt like I was kind of just surviving and not thriving back then. And I had to, you know, learn so many different things. And it's just so much different now, you know, from I look back to that little Lucy and I think, oh my gosh, like, you knew nothing about blindness.
Yeah, I'm sure. And why should you? It must have been so frightening. Is there nothing, because it's so rare, is there nothing that they can do or could they do then?
No, I mean, throughout my whole childhood, I would go to consultant appointments because the way that kind of I lost my eyesight was with a detached retina. So how it happens is kind of the wallpaper of our eye, if you like, at the back is our retina. And that wallpaper glue, sorry if your listeners are slightly squeamish, but basically my eye bleeds. It doesn't hurt, but that's just how it kind of happens. And there's no current medical advancements to plug that bleeding or, like, you know, take it away from me. So my eyes will just continue to do so, and my retina will never stick. So, yeah, I mean, there's all sorts out there, like regrowth of retinas and gene testing, and which is all amazing. But I thought back to myself when I thought of a cure every day, you know, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I really wish for a cure. And I felt that my day-to-day life, me thinking that way, was kind of a bit, I just felt quite sad when I thought that way. So now I'm just like, right, what can I do? And what are the things that, you know, I'm able to do now? So,
and you're able to do loads. You're a real inspiration. So where did it all start? I mean, how did you get on TV and to do all the things you're doing now?
Yeah, so I love telly. I kind of started my YouTube channel to find people out there like me. And that YouTube channel became a portfolio. I suddenly had a community of people who, you know, saw themselves represented, you know, in me, and which was amazing. And I think also back then, because I would Google the word blindness and nothing would come up, I'd be like, oh, okay, I'm weird. And I wasn't, I'm not weird. It's just, you know, it's something was happening to me and I was trying to understand what was going on. So that culminated like to the start of my portfolio into journalism. And I actually used that as the basis of my application for the BBC. And then I trained as a BBC digital journalist and moved to London from Birmingham. And that was the start, really. And during the pandemic, I went on TikTok. And then that means now we went from me and my now husband, we run our TikTok page and all our social media. And we now have our company. But we went from August 2020 till December 2020, you know, having a million followers. So it really has spiraled like that personal brand side of things. And it's just allowed me to get more commissions as a journalist as well, which is just super cool.
It is super cool. You've got 1.7 million TikTok followers and 600,000 YouTube subscribers. That's incredible.
Thank you so much. I still can't believe that it's happened. And what's amazing these days is that, you know, everything is so social media focused, and I just really enjoy it. I really enjoy putting my life online, because I think there was a massive gap. You know, I speak to younger kids because I'm part of a pro bono work that I do is speakers for schools. And yeah, basically I talk to kids all the time, and they say, you know, we didn't know anything about blindness until we watched your videos. Like the teachers download our videos. And I think then what was really amazing is the fact that I'm able to have my own book called Blind Not Broken. And that slogan for me came from the fact that the world around me, I felt, needs to be fixed. And the social model of disability, that's where I really root my kind of core value system in. And I finally did believe, like 5 years on from losing my eyesight, that I am not broken, I'm just blind. And it goes through all of my story, but it's also a guide for turning loss and grief into happiness. And, you know, when people see me doing advertisements and everything, you know, they don't see that girl that did lose her eyesight. And I just want them to know that they can, you know, believe in themselves and do things even though they don't feel very well right now.
So. Yeah, that's really good. And like you say, the word is thrive. You're not just living your life, you're thriving in it now.
Oh, thank you. Honestly, I do really feel that way. And I'm so super excited for so many cool projects that I'm doing. I'm always going back to my why, though. Like, who are all those little Lucys out there that are not understanding themselves like I did? And, you know, every morning I get up and I'm like, right, how can I make a video that would make them understand themselves? Or the DMs that I get from family members and friends of people who are losing their eyesight, or just in general, just disabled people as a whole, like, how can I make their lives better with my voice? So that's what I'm all about.
Good for you. So do you use Pantene? Because you have got beautiful hair.
Thank you. Yes, I did. It was super cool, because with that collaboration, I feel like some collaborations, I guess, can be quite tokenistic. But with that one, we were able to change the packaging from the shampoo and conditioner bottles with a little code called Navilens, which you can scan. And I remember talking to the team and being like, oh my gosh, I can finally know what shampoo and conditioner is after 9 years. And I was like crying my eyes out and thought, oh my gosh, this is such a super cool commercial. Not only because it was just cool to have fluffy hair on telly, but
yeah, do the Pantene head shake. It's lovely.
Thank you, my love.
So do you think it's changed? I mean, like you say, little Lucy at 11 and then at 17, are things better now? I mean, I'm going back 30, 40 years, but all I could think of was that you'd be able to read a book in Braille, for example. Presumably you can use a computer keyboard and that's similar to Braille, is it?
So what I would say is there's still a long way to go, but we've come a long way with awareness. You know, there's people out there like me. There's so many social media content creators who have vision loss, and blindness is such a spectrum, and there's more awareness on that front. I think in terms of products, you know, I still walk into supermarkets. I can walk to the supermarket because I've had mobility training with my guide dog and I'm independent. I can get to and from the shops. But when I walk in that door, my independence, I still give it up at the door to someone else. You know, every bottle feels the same. So it's how we really drill down and say, how can we use our universal design principles, which I talk to brands every single day behind the scenes and also, you know, do advertisements for them, to really try and work out, like, how can we get to a place where, you know, it's not just myself who is being represented through these products. But, you know, in a universal design mindset, from lived experience of people in their company through to, you know, how can we just, like, redesign this product for everyone, not just the blind community. And so many magical things happen when we think outside the box. And I think there are those change makers within companies. You know, like Pantene and P&G, I did have an amazing ally in Sam, who was, you know, behind the scenes. She is the disability lead for P&G. So she's always been my massive supporter and I adore her and we've become firm friends. But, you know, Pantene wouldn't have been the collaboration with me in front of the scenes if we didn't have me and her behind the scenes consulting as well. So what I would say is that, you know, there is still infrastructure as well that we need to change. You know, I went to Japan as part of a BBC travel show documentary where I deep dived into, you know, their culture and the tactile paving there and the tactile maps within the toilets and the braille everywhere was next level. You know, if I learnt Japanese, I would move there tomorrow because it's so accessible for the blind. So how can we learn from different countries as well?
Yeah, I think you're right about different countries. I mean, I love my adopted country, Spain, but I must admit they're not very good. I was talking to somebody the other day, actually, who was in a wheelchair, and they were saying, I didn't realise until I got the wheelchair how bad the ramp system is here on the Costa del Sol. There aren't many ramps. And somebody like myself wouldn't think about that until I thought about it. You know what I mean? So now I'm thinking, well, yeah, how does a wheelchair get down a step? And if there's not a ramp there, it's not fair.
It's true. And it's unbelievable, I guess, that, I mean, we wouldn't have necessarily thought about that when we were building these massive buildings. But, you know, if we think to a world where, you know, the world needs to be fixed rather than the individual disabled person, that person in a wheelchair or that person with a long white cane with guide dogs, you know, it's the attitude that needs fixing. And if suddenly, you know, the world was, you know, suddenly had ramps everywhere, we'd think differently as a society. And socially, I think it's only a cultural norm because we have so much media surrounding so many different things. And we're ostracized because of that. And I think, why can't ramps become the norm? Why can't Braille become the norm? And I think there's that just different mindset and thought process, I guess, coming from the new generations.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is the new generation. Now, you mentioned your guide dog. Is that Miss Molly?
Yeah, lovely Miss Molly. She's so cute.
I've been looking at pictures of her on your Facebook page, bless her. And have you had Miss Molly for a long time? I mean, did you start at 17 with a blind dog or how does that work?
Yeah, so with my guide dog, I actually was first matched with my first ever guide dog at 18 years old. And she was called Guide Dog Olga, and she's still with me today. Although she's at my mom's right now because I'm on the road. But no, Miss Molly's here with me, and I've been a guide dog owner and user now for 10 years, which is crazy to think of. I'm 28. And you know, we move through the world with something called a straight line principle. Now, I will have so many different foot positions to basically maintain my independence and mobility through what I tell Miss Molly. And we're a team. We very much are. You know, I'm the navigator and she's the driver. And she stands at every different curb for me. And I give her a treat at each curb and I count my curbs to next destinations, things like that. And if I want to go left and right, we do different foot positions. So it's brilliant.
They're so clever, aren't they? I mean, dogs are wonderful in general, but the way they train these dogs, it's incredible.
honestly, like, I'm still in awe of them, and I've been working with them for like 10 years, so they're amazing.
Oh, give Miss Molly a treat from me.
Yeah, a little kiss on the head.
Yes, please do. Well, as Lucy says, it's part memoir and part self-help guide. The book is called Blind Not Broken, which is Lucy's motto in life. Your guide to turning loss and grief into happiness. And I suppose this could apply to any loss or grief, couldn't it?
Absolutely. My book is for everybody out there who is struggling. I very much, when I talk to people who are grieving, you know, we all go through similar emotions in life together. I think it's really hard, and when you're in the midst of grief, to kind of come out of your shell and think about, you know, talking to someone. But I think my book, what it gives is like helpful tips to anyone feeling really low. And, you know, there's excerpts from my family who saw me grieve the loss of my eyesight, and, you know, how to cope if you are, you know, basically a loved one of someone who's grieving as well. So there's so many different facets to it. It's such a multifaceted guide, and I just hope the exercises help if you are dealing with something.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. And I'll just give your website out so people can find out more. It is literally lucyedwards.com.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Lucy. It's been great to chat to you. Thank you for being so positive, and long may it continue. You take care.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.